and welcome. You're listening to The Broadband Exchange, the podcast from your friends at Telecompetitor. I'm Ian Desher, Pivot's Director of Media and Story and Managing Editor of Telecompetitor. I'm back from vacation and have a roundup of the last week's news for you. Let's get into it. We'll start this week with AT&T, which made two related moves around simpler, more flexible consumer pricing. First, AT&T introduced what it described as a streamlined set of fiber plans for home internet customers. Starting yesterday, June 7th, fiber customers can choose from four speed tiers: 300 megabits per second, 500 megabits per second, 1 gigabit, and 5 gigabits. The standalone prices range from $50 a month for the 300 megabit plan to $125 a month for the 5 gigabit plan. Customers who also have AT&T mobile service are going to get ongoing discounts that bring those prices down farther. AT&T said the new entry-level fiber plan was three times faster than it originally was with this new plan, and that customers combining qualifying services can also receive things like internet backup at no additional charge. The fastest plan they're offering includes AT&T's All-Fi Pro with enhanced Wi-Fi performance, whole home coverage, advanced security, and premium equipment upgrades. That fiber announcement came just about a week after AT&T launched Build a Plan for their mobile service. The basic idea of Build a Plan is customization. It starts at $15 a month for unlimited talk and text and 1 gigabyte of data. Customers can then add data and hotspot capacity in different increments, including unlimited data options with either SD or UHD streaming. Together, those announcements mark a familiar but important strategy: make the offer easier to understand, give customers more control, and use bundling to keep households inside AT&T's ecosystem. In a market where every provider is trying to offer simplicity, AT&T is also trying to show that simplicity doesn't have to mean one size fits all. There's still some customization there. Now let's turn to the BEAD program, where Texas offered a useful look at how final subgrantee contracts compared with provisional awards. Texas, of course, had the largest BEAD allocation in the country at about $3.3 billion. Its provisional awards announced last October selected 22 companies to serve more than 240,000 broadband serviceable locations and more than 2,700 community anchor institutions. But now BEAD is moving from theory and into implementation, and the final awards that they announced this week showed some interesting differences from the provisional awards. First, the total awards decreased by $203 million. The provisional awards were about $1.2 billion, while the final awards were just a little over $1 billion. Also, the number of locations served decreased from that 240,000 figure by about 31,000 from the provisional awards to the final contracts. Five providers announced as provisional award winners in October, including Amazon Leo, did not appear on Texas's final award list, which accounts for another $193 million in awards that Texas isn't making. Of the 17 providers that did just sign their contracts, about 12 didn't see much change in their awards, but the other five did. And the biggest changes were for two providers. First, U.S. Connect Holdings, Inc., doing business as Livingston Telephone Company. That company's award increased more than 400%, rising from an $8.5 million provisional award to a final $36.6 million award. And on the flip side, Rural Telecommunications of America, Inc.'s award decreased by more than two-thirds, dropping from a $48.4 million provisional award to a $15.8 million final award. Speaking of BEAD, NTCA CEO Mike Romano called for public performance data on BEAD-funded networks. In a recent blog post, he argued that ribbon cuttings and location past announcements aren't enough to show whether public broadband investments are delivering what they promised. NTC is calling for the public release of performance testing data on a provider-by-provider basis. The idea is essentially an accountability dashboard where the public can compare real-world speed and latency, verify that prices were reasonably comparable to urban areas, and track adoption rates. That would mark an important change in how broadband success is measured. A built network is not the same thing as a useful, affordable, and reliable service. BEAD could force the industry and policymakers to be much more precise about what makes a successful network. Moving on, let's talk about the FCC's week in policy. Chairman Brendan Carr has opened a rulemaking proceeding focused on whether the E-Rate program is producing strong educational outcomes and protecting children online. Carr pointed to concerns about excessive screen time in schools and questions about whether E-rate rules still fit modern classrooms. E-rate has supported school and library connectivity for nearly 30 years, with roughly $3 billion in annual spending. But the program was created in an era of supervised computer labs, not today's one-to-one device environment. So the FCC is seeking comment on whether E-rate-funded networks are being used for educational purposes, whether the agency's current reading of the Children's Internet Protection Act remains the best interpretation, and how parents, guardians, and teachers should be empowered in decisions about access to E-rate-funded networks. The agency said reducing the E-rate funding cap is not part of the current proposal. That's what they said, but Chairman Carr has also said that Universal Service and the E-rate program in particular need what he is calling a top-to-bottom look. So we'll see. Also in the past week, the FCC's inter-carrier compensation proceeding drew more rural pushback. Rural organizations oppose a proposal that would move remaining rural local exchange carriers toward a bill-and-keep inter-carrier compensation system. Bill-and-keep means carriers don't compensate each other for terminating calls between exchanges. Many rural providers that still operate under legacy rate of return rules have continued charging for termination, and rural groups argue that forcing a shift could create cost recovery shortfalls. Moving to state funding, New Mexico approved $300,000 in broadband planning grants for Jemez Springs, Doña Ana County, and Santo Domingo Pueblo. The money came through the state's Grant Writing, Engineering, and Planning Program, which helps tribes, local governments, and cooperatives prepare broadband projects for unserved locations. These planning grants often help determine whether a future deployment grant application is ready, realistic, and fundable. And New Mexico has issued several of these planning grants in the past 6 months or so. Jemez Springs planned to study middle-mile fiber along a 10-mile Highway 4 corridor. Doña Ana County plans to do work around public Wi-Fi at county facilities, parks, and recreational fields. And Santo Domingo Pueblo plans to document existing fiber and identify gaps so it could scale its current fiber project. Now to the advertising world, where the BBB National Program's National Advertising Division had two rulings involving major cable operators. In case you're curious, I like for Telecompetitor to cover these cases because I think it helps our readers and listeners understand both how the national companies are trying to position themselves in their advertising and where the boundaries of acceptable advertising are. So in one case, the National Advertising Division allowed Comcast Xfinity's use of the term fiber-powered in their advertising. They found that the disclosure saying that Xfinity Internet was powered by fiber and connected to premises by coaxial cable sufficiently explained that the service was not fiber to the home. But they also recommended that Comcast make those disclosures clearer and more conspicuous. In another case, the National Advertising Division found that Charter Spectrum's claim that customers could receive free high-speed internet forever with the purchase and maintenance of four mobile lines was supported. But there was a caveat there, too. The National Advertising Division recommended that Spectrum more clearly disclose that eligibility requires four qualifying Spectrum mobile lines. On the mergers and acquisitions front, OmniFiber announced it would acquire Citizens Fiber, expanding its network in western Pennsylvania. Citizens Fiber provides fiber internet, TV, and phone service in Westmoreland County communities, including Greensburg, Latrobe, Mount Pleasant, and surrounding areas. OmniFiber said the acquisition would expand its residential and business customer base. The company has invested more than $500 million in fiber network construction and has been expanding across Ohio, Michigan, Texas, and Pennsylvania. We'll close with a different kind of digital divide story about AI adoption. A Microsoft study reported on by Axios found that AI use was substantially higher in large urban areas than in rural communities. Almost one-third of people in large urban areas use AI, compared with 16.2% in rural areas, so that's basically half. Small cities were in between at about 22%. As you know, AI is quickly becoming part of education, agriculture, customer service, network operations, and small business productivity. Rural communities have a lot to gain from those tools, but only if access, skills, trust, and useful applications are developing together. And as long as we're talking about AI, I would be remiss if I didn't mention that Telecompetitor is sharing the findings of our State of AI in Rural Broadband study in a webinar coming up just 2 days from now, Wednesday, June 10th at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. You can find a link to the webinar in the podcast show notes or find it on Telecompetitor. 132 broadband providers like you participated in the study, and we have some really interesting things to share about how your peers are using AI and expecting to gain value from it. We hope you'll join us. And that's it for this week. Thank you for listening to the Broadband Exchange. You can read all the articles we talked about today at telecompetitor.com. Feel free to drop us a line while you're there. Thanks again for joining us, and we will see you next time.